From coast to coast across America, it's the U.S. Property Podcast with the latest real estate news, interviews, and market trends.
Hey, welcome back to the U.S. Property Podcast as we continue to focus on the latest real estate property news from around the country. Of course, we look at the trends, the forecasts, and the predictions as heard on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple as well, and also Amazon. And we are covering 50 states, so there is always a lot of real estate news to talk about. And Brendan in Amarillo, Texas, you have sent through an email to say that you have just bought your third property investment and you're listening to the podcast. Fantastic, Brendan, for reaching that milestone of three properties, and you've got a portfolio, so well done. But we all know that there are so many people still trying to buy their first home, and a significant contributor to the housing crunch is Wall Street's increasing influence on the real estate market. And I want you to email through and let us know what you think about this. Since 2008's financial crisis, Wall Street has capitalized on foreclosed homes, driving up prices and profiting from the rental market. Hedge funds and other investment groups now own a substantial portion of single-family homes, often in diverse neighborhoods, turning them into rentals. And the Democrats in Congress have proposed legislation to restrict hedge funds from buying these single-family homes. Now, the bill is aiming to gradually force these funds to sell off their properties and reinvest the profits into down payment assistance for individual buyers. I'm not sure where that bill is at the moment, but everyone can see just how negatively that is impacting on people's ability to try and get their money together to buy their first property. So if you would like to comment on that, our email address is uspropertypodcast@gmail.com. Right, this morning we are off to Chicago, catching up with Sarah Leonard from Illinois again, who is a high-performing real estate principal with her team. And a very good morning to you, Sarah. Welcome back to the U.S. Property Podcast.
Good morning, Craig. Thank you for having me back.
Well, we spoke to you a few weeks ago, sort of finding out a little bit about your market. You are covering the Chicagoland suburb. So why don't we do a little bit of a reflection point back over 2023? What were some of the standout notable things for you last year that really did stand out for you?
I think the most notable point was when we reached a place of fear leading our market. So people were fearful that they didn't know what would happen with the interest rates and the inventory, which really impacted sellers not having the confidence to list their home. And that impacted buyers because there was no inventory for them to buy. That lasted about four to five months of our 2023 calendar year. And I would say it was late summer, we started to see people realize, okay, the rates have stayed stable. They're in the sevens, inching into the eights. And inventory is stable. It's not as low as it was in 2022. And so I think just that stability and the reality that the rates were not going to go down finally resonated with consumers, and they built the confidence and elected to begin, you know, submitting themselves into the market again, which we're very grateful for. That really helped things stabilize. But there was a couple months there where it was pretty quiet because people just weren't certain what was happening.
Yeah, and when you've got that uncertainty, and particularly in terms of the sentiment, I mean, that can spread very quickly, as we know, in real estate. And one of the things we talked about last time was the fact that last year there were people that were moving outside of the state, and that was in turn presenting some opportunities with some listings. So that sort of propped up the market, did it? Somewhat towards the end of last year.
Absolutely, it did. Yes, that, and I would say builders got very, very creative. So there was more new construction because they would look at the financial aspect and say, okay, we'll pay some of our equity down to lower the interest rate. So they would put $20,000 or $30,000 toward a buyer being able to buy down their rate, which made the inflated pricing that we've been seeing much more palatable for people as the rates were lowered. So we did see inventory grow a bit, and that really just helped to stimulate the market and moving forward again.
Now, somebody, Sarah, outside of the market that is listening to you this morning, thinking, well, for whatever reason, they might be looking at moving into your area. What are a couple of takeaways that you can share with the listeners outside of your area who just might be thinking, now's the time to move?
I would say that we expect this calendar year in 2024 inventory to be on the rise. I think with it being an election year, we'll see the rates stabilize. And I think that really it is a good time to purchase because we're seeing confidence flood back into the market. And in our hyper-local area, I think the city has really regularized itself. We're seeing people back to work. There's everybody out and about again. We're seeing a lot of live events that aren't getting canceled and that people aren't scared to go to. So all in all, we're seeing things just, you know, really enter back into a healthy balance in our area. Schools are great. They've really figured out how to work with things post-COVID, and our calendars are getting filled up again with, you know, human-to-human contact, which is what people really crave and look for when moving into a city, a larger city like Chicago.
Okay, well, here's a couple of points for you. First question is, do you think that 2024 could be a balanced market? And the second question is, days on market. I know that last year, I think it tipped up to 46 days on market. Now, depending on the market, you know, that can be argued, that's not as bad as what some people might think it is. So can you talk to those two points?
Absolutely. So days on market, let's start with that. A healthy market should be 40 to 60 days on market. So we can look at absorption rates. You can look at what a healthy balance would be. And I would argue that 40 to 60 days is exactly that. In our market, so depending on the community, for price points that are under $500,000, in 2023, we still saw market times probably 21 days and below. So you're looking at 3 weeks or less. When we got into some of the higher price points, because those were really impacted by the interest rate increase, that is where the market times would have risen to between 40 and 60 days. But again, those numbers are not unhealthy by any stretch of the imagination. And I do think that 2024 is going to and is going to show us more balance. I think consumers are having confidence. Rates have just been accepted at this point. People aren't fighting them anymore. They realize what goes up must come down, and we will see those balance out. And then you just refinance. So I absolutely do think that we are heading into a more balanced market, which is desperately needed.
Let's have a look at the median sale price across different categories, apartments and houses, etc. So what sort of money can people expect to pay?
You can really pay in the low $300,000 range and expect to get a nice home in a good school district with easy access to the city through our Metra train. And that's a really, really, it's a pretty reasonable price point to be in the threes and be able to have that. Now, if you're in the downtown city living, you know, they're still rebuilding after all of our elections and COVID and everything that that's been hit with. So rents and prices there are a bit more affordable. But in the Chicagoland suburbs, because there's been such a demand to get out of the city in the past 4 to 5 years, we're seeing those still slightly heightened.
And for the investor, Sarah, let's just have a look at the rental market in terms of what that was doing, particularly for the last half of 2023, because I think the rents were in that sort of average range, were they?
Rents were a bit inflated just simply due to the interest rates. People said, I'm just going to extend my rent, which isn't inexpensive by any stretch of the imagination. However, if I can stay here and not pay the cost of moving and then lock into a lower interest rate in the 2024 calendar year, that's what we were seeing a lot of people do. So rents were a bit inflated in really all of 2023 solely because of the lack of inventory and interest rates.
As I mentioned, just before I let you go this morning, you have a team. You are the principal there. How difficult is it keeping your team sort of motivated from a principal's point of view for 2024?
I would say it's an ongoing process. I feel very lucky. I've got a really great supportive team around me. So we have 10 full-time staff in the office that support my licensed agents, and they really just make our world go round. So making sure that the team being licensed and our unlicensed staff are happy is so important. So we spend a lot of time together, both in and outside of work events, just to keep everyone on the same page. You know, we really are a family. Spend more time at work than you do at home for most people throughout their career. So we put a lot of emphasis on our team's culture and the morale. It's really important to us.
Absolutely. If you are able to cultivate that family sort of vibe and feel, people just turn up, don't they? From day to day, sort of happy to be there.
Absolutely. And that is so important. I always say, I don't want anybody coming in and like clenching their jaw, not wanting to be here coming into work. We need this to be a happy, positive environment. And it really is. I feel very lucky at that.
Well, Sarah, you have yourself a happy, vibey day today with your clients, with your team. Thanks once again for coming on to the US Property Podcast Breakfast. And we will talk again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
While we can't predict the future of the real estate market, we can provide you with insights on what's currently trending. It's powerful information at your fingertips on the U.S. Property Podcast.
The cost of living. So, you know, New York real estate has not appreciated in the same way that the U.S. housing market has appreciated over the last couple of years, but it is still an incredibly expensive place to live, whether to purchase a home or rent a home.
What are some of the front of mind things that people should really be paying a reasonable amount of attention to?
When you are buying an apartment in a cooperative or a condominium, you own a small piece of a larger building. And the health of that building, both physically and financially, is critical in terms of the impact on your investment. So if the building is well run, if the financials are in good shape, that's one thing. If you have a building that is poorly run, or the financials are in poor shape, or the building has to undergo major construction on the facade or any other number of, you know, larger capital elements, that can obviously impact the health of your financial investment one way or the other.
From powerful and up-to-date news to professional real estate experts with the latest property trends, know your property with the U.S. Property Podcast.